Amen. We're going to be headed to the book of Acts this morning in a message titled, God Wrote Your Story. I'm continuing in the same direction that I have been over these few weeks. And if you haven't been here each Sunday, you'll still be fine. The message will stand on its own, but still continuing with the message of while God created us uniquely and as individuals, He wants us to work together united for a greater cause and a greater purpose in the kingdom. And that's what we really believe God wants to do with us as not just in this local church, but in every local church. So we want to definitely be a part of that. So today we're going to look at a part of how you and I fit in that story and this message, God Wrote Your Story. Let me pray first, though, before I jump into it. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we do thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. I pray that once again, as we gather here in your house, that you would build us through it, Lord God. Build your church. I pray that you would equip us, that you would teach us, Lord. I pray that you would speak to us through the prophetic ministry of preaching. I pray that you would help me, Lord God, to stay out of the way in self and simply, Lord God, speak a word from you to your church, Lord God, that would build us up. We pray this in the strong name of Jesus Christ. And church, I want to ask if you would pray with me, Father, build me up as a part of your church. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. That's what God is doing. Amen. I want you to know today that you were a part of God's plan from the beginning of creation. That from the very beginning of time, God had already thought of you. You were always part of the plan. You're not an afterthought. God did not declare, let there be light, and then walk through the 6 days of creation, and then rest on the seventh day, and then later along the way, somewhere through the course of time, decide, oh, I think I'll make you. No, you were a part of the story from the very beginning of time. There was all a part of God's plan always included you. And I want to show you that today in the Word of God. God always intended for you to be a part of the family of God. He wanted to bring you in and to redeem you. And the same God who said, let there be light, is the same God who said, let there be Wendy. He's the same God who said, let there be who was ever seated next to you. God spoke, and it was His plan that you would be as well. It was His desire for all of us to be a part of His creation. So I want to read to you from Acts first, Acts chapter number 17, to show you how we kind of fit into this and some other great passages today as well. It says this, from one man He made all the nations. That one man is Adam. First person created is Adam. God created Adam and Eve, and of course we know that they began to have children, and from there all of the nations of the earth would come. From one man He made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And He marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek Him and perhaps reach out for Him and find Him, though He is not far from any one of us. So God created Adam with the plan all along that from him all of the nations of the earth would come, people would inhabit the whole earth, and then in this plan of our inhabiting the whole earth, God chose our times and our seasons and where we would live. So this was all a part of the plan of God. Now let me read you a passage from Psalm 139. Here the psalmist says, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. That's a powerful passage right there. Now, what book is this? That's not a tough question. Come on. What book is this? It's the Bible. And this is God's book, right? Who's the author of Scripture? God is the author of Scripture. The Bible tells us that we know that prophets and men of old were inspired by the Spirit of God to pen the Word of God. So God's the author, the ultimate author of Scriptures. But while this is God's book, in the Bible we read of other books as well. You read of things like the Book of Tears, a Book of Remembrance. And in Psalm here, we read of a book that is just called God's Book, where God wrote His plan. So this is not the only book God has, but it is the only book that we have access to, all right? So somebody else shows up with another book and says, well, this one's God's book also. No, you won't get to see any other book of God's until you get to heaven. Here on earth, this is how God has chosen to reveal Himself to us, is through the Word of God. Amen? It's through the Scriptures. You want to get to know God? Read your Bible. Read your Bible and you get to know God. You learn more about Him. However, in heaven, God has other books as well that are His, and that's what's referred to here. And I want to tell you, the same God that when God wrote something in this book, while it is done, it is always going to come to pass. That's always the case for everything that God writes. So when God sat down with His heavenly quill in heaven in His book and He wrote about you, everything God wrote about you is going to come to pass. Everything that God declared over you is going to be in His plan for your life. Nothing's going to alter the plan of God. Amen? It's too powerful. Nothing is greater than that. And these are a couple of the more powerful passages of Scripture with regard to understanding our purpose for being and who we are and how we fit into what God has done. God chose our times. God chose our seasons. Maybe somewhere along the way you have thought, wow, wouldn't it have been amazing to have lived when Jesus was alive on earth and have walked the shores of Galilee with Him? You know why you don't live then? God didn't want you to live then. You know why you live now? God wants you to live now. You're alive in 2018 because this is when God wants you to live. God chose your time. God chose your season, just as He chose mine. This is when He wanted us. But not only did He choose our times and our seasons, the Bible said there that He chose where we would live in the earth, which means God chose where I would be born. Not just when, but where. He chose where I would come from, where you would come from. It was by God's design and by God's plan. That's amazing. Before any of us were born, before any of us were conceived, God sat down and wrote the plan. It's incredible. Although it might gross you out, it might be tough for you to think about it, there was a time when your father and your mother laid together and you were the result of that. I'll keep it PG, but you know what went on, all right? So, your father and your mother were together, and in fact, in that moment, we know that from medical research that somewhere anywhere in like 100 million to a billion sperm cells were released and a race started to get to an egg inside your mother, and only one of them was going to get there and was going to be the strongest and burrow through an outer layer and get in there and make a baby. And you know who won the race? You did. You were the fastest. You were the strongest. You were the one that won. You were a winner before you were ever born. You were already the fastest and the strongest out of hundreds of millions before anybody ever even saw you. That was God's plan for you. You know why you won the race? God wanted you to win the race. You know why you were the strongest? Because God made you the strongest. God's plan was always for there to be a you, that you would be the result of that. This was what God had always wanted to do. And I want you to catch today that you are a part of God's eternal plan. You're a part of God's eternal plan. Look at this in Hebrews chapter 12. It says, we're looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So who's writing the story? Jesus, right? Who's the author? Jesus. Jesus writes the story. Who's writing my story? Jesus. He's the author. He's the finisher. It's His plan. It's what He is doing. When you read a book, an author wrote it. When you go see a movie, a film, there was a writer, a director, a producer. They put it together to get the outcome that they wanted. When you see a building that is built, it wasn't just some people got together and just started driving some nails into wood and said, let's see what happens. No, there was an architect, there was a plan, there was a designer, that there would be an outcome. And it's the same in your life and in my life and in creation as well. God has a plan. God's always had a plan. God's always known what He was doing and what He wanted to do. Now, you don't have to give me the year, Sister Debbie, but when's your birthday?
January.
Now, this is something because in the 8:30 service, it was also a January birthday, and I'm a January birthday, so we're going to start the January birthday club, all right? I'm January 3rd. You know why you were born on January 8th?
Jesus.
That's when God wanted you to be born. God wanted you to be born on January 8th, so that's why you were born on January 8th. Where were you born?
January 1st.
Okay, but not... Are you serious?
Yeah.
I thought maybe he was pulling my leg. January what?
First.
Okay. He gets to be in the January birthday club with us, all right? So we're having cake after service.
I'm like children.
Yeah. Okay, but where were you born?
In Africa.
Where at specifically?
Cotonou.
What country?
Benin.
And Benin? You know why you were born there?
Yeah.
That's where God wanted you to be born there.
Yeah.
That's why you were born there. He was born in Africa because that's where God wanted you to be born. How tall are you?
Five, eight, nine.
You're not sure?
9 or 8 and a half.
Do you know when your birthday is?
Yes.
I'll keep it simpler. You're tall. Yeah, yeah. 5'8", 5'. You know why you're that height? That's how tall God wanted you to be. He wanted you to be that tall. That was why. Where do you live now?
Silver Spring.
And so you know why you live in Silver Spring?
Yes.
That's where God wants you to live, is in Silver Spring. That was by His plan. It was by His design. If you fill out a form, a government form, and it asks you on there, what is your ethnicity? What do you put down?
Caucasian.
You know why you're Caucasian? Because God wanted you to be Caucasian. Who we are, when we are, the way we are. Look at your neighbor and see what color their eyes are. You know why their eyes are that color?
Because
God wanted them to be that color. This is the same God who knows how many hairs are on top of your head. It's easier with this brother than some of the rest of us. But God knows. But God knows. If God knows how many hairs are on my head, then God surely, if He designed that, then God knows the color of my eyes. God knew what my height would be. He knew when I would be born. All of this is a part of the plan of God. Our lives have not been haphazardly left to chance. We serve a God who has a plan. There is a purpose. He's doing something. We're not the luck of the draw or the roll of some dice. God is doing something. Look at this here. For You created my inmost being and knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise You because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Tell your neighbor that you're wonderful. Don't tell them they are. Tell them you are. Yeah, because you are. That's what the psalmist says. I praise You because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. If God's works are wonderful and God's work includes you, then guess what you are? Then you're wonderful, right? Because that's what God says you are. That's what God is doing. You're a part of the eternal plan of God. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have free will. The fact that God has a plan and that God designed these things doesn't mean that we don't make decisions. You've already made decisions today. You decided if you were coming to church or the 8:30 or the 11 o'clock service, or you decided what you were eating for breakfast or what you were wearing or whatever. And we have free will. We make decisions all the time about what we're going to do and where we're going to go. And there's a couple of you that are already trying to decide where you're going to lunch afterwards and where are we going to go and what are we going to eat afterwards? What are we going to do? We have free will. We make decisions continuously. The fact that we have free will, though, doesn't mean that God doesn't have a plan. God still has a plan. And the fact that we have free will in our lives also means that some people choose to do some evil things with that free will, right? There's some people who've lived throughout history and even who live now who do very evil things, who hurt people. In fact, there are people in your life and in my life who probably have hurt you along the way. There are people who have abused you somewhere along the way. Somebody has mistreated you in some way along the way. I want you to know that when God sat down in heaven with His heavenly pen and wrote in His book your story, God did not write in your story for you to be hurt. The plans of God are to prosper you and not to harm you, and to give you a future and a hope. God would not write in the book a plan to harm you and to hurt you. That isn't the plan of God. However, God knew in His foreknowledge that there would be people who would do you wrong. So He sat down with that pen and God wrote a plan to heal you. And God wrote a plan to restore you and to redeem you and to correct what was wrong and to bring that and to redeem. And the biggest part of that plan, of course, was to send Jesus Christ as a Redeemer, that we could be forgiven and that grace would be ours. And then to send the Holy Spirit as a divine choreographer who could direct our paths and orchestrate the good, the bad, the ugly, the pretty, all together in a plan where the end could still be God's plan. I want you to know that God wrote, God sat down and wrote to make sure that the hurt that happened in your life would not be the end of your story.
Amen.
That was the plan of God. That wouldn't be the end. There would be more to the story, and it would be a story of restoration and a story of redemption is the plan of God. So everything that happens in my life is not good just because God wrote my story. Some bad things have happened in my life, just like some bad things have happened in your life. Sadly, some bad things will probably still happen in our lives as we look ahead. That doesn't mean God wants bad things to happen to us, but God knows what will happen, and He always has a plan. There's always a plan to heal, to restore, to move. So remember that. That's where Romans 8:28, Dexter read it when he was up here, when he said, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. The Bible doesn't say everything is good. It says works together for good. God's able to work bad things together for good. Read the story of Joseph when you get a chance in the Old Testament. You see a great picture of that as well. And I won't hang out on it today, but it's a beautiful one. Here's what I want you to catch today as a few points. The one is this. I'm jumping ahead there in my own notes. I want you to catch that you're a part of God's eternal plan. How can I back up a little bit? I jumped ahead in my own notes here. No. Let me stay on that one. I'm sorry. You're who God wanted you to be. So you're a part of God's eternal plan, but within that, you're who God wanted you to be. This is a big one. What's wrong with pastor's face? That sounds like a strange question, but a woman came to me in the church I was pastoring for many years in Yonkers one Sunday, and she was just laughing, and she thought this was hysterical, and she came to tell me this story, and she says, I'm at home, and my little girl came up to me, about 3 years old. My little girl, Kylie, came up and said, what's wrong with pastor's face? And she said, some of you were already wondering that. No. And she says, I don't know what you mean. And she says, but what's wrong with his face? And she said, well, what do you mean what's wrong with his face? It's just his face. And she's like, no, but why does his face look like that? Now, the woman telling me this story, her name is Taiwo, and she's from Nigeria. And her family came from Nigeria. And her little daughter, in looking at my face, coming from Nigeria, could not figure out what's wrong with my face. Why is my face not brown? Her face is brown. How come my face isn't? What's wrong? So, of course, mom came to tell me the funny story of my daughter wants to know what's wrong with your face. Well, this is the face Jesus gave me. I am who God wanted me to be. You are who God wanted you to be. That's who we are. God is who made us. God is who created. You have the face that God wants you to have. And you can draw your own eyebrows on and do whatever else, but it's the original one that God wanted it to be, and we can mess around with it. I could grow some hair or whatever, but it's his. It's his. So that's who we are. God chose that there would be nations as well. He then chose our times and our seasons, and we read there in the boundaries of those lands. Again, we live when we live because God chose when we would live. And it's not just because our parents decided to have a baby, if you will. We were not an accident. And then we come from the nations that we come from because they are the nations that God wanted us to come from. I want you to catch this. This is important. It's illustrated here. God set these nations up. God chose when we would be. God said from one man the nations of the earth would come. So that means my nationality is because that's where God wanted me to be. My ethnicity, my race, is because that's what God picked for me. God did that not just for me. God did it for every one of us in this room. He chose all of this. It was all by his design. It was what he wanted. God wanted a very diverse group of people. Now, when Jesus was on earth and he taught on the kingdom of God, he would tell parables. He would tell stories to try to keep it simple so that we could understand what he was expressing. And in one of those accounts, when he talked about the kingdom, he said in Matthew chapter 13, 47, he said, the kingdom of heaven is like a net. Now, it's not a little net. The word that he uses here is a drag net, like how a commercial fisherman would drop a big net in the water and just drag it along to catch a huge school of fish or a big group of fish. The kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. What's unique about when Jesus spoke here is when we hear the word kinds, it sounds different to us in English than it did when Jesus was speaking. Jesus, in Greek and Aramaic, used a word more like ethnos or genios. He referred to the fish as though they had ethnicity. He said the kingdom of God is like a net that you drop down and it caught all races or all ethnicities of fish. But fish don't have race. We don't think of fish. You're not going to go to Red Lobster for lunch today and sit down and say, well, what race is the fish of the day? They're going to look at you like you're crazy. and they bring a fish to the table. Well, what ethnicity is this fish? What is this? But what are you talking about? It's salmon. It's blue. Whatever it is along the way. It's with that. But Jesus wasn't really talking about fish, was he? He was talking about us. The kingdom of heaven is like a net that would be let down that would catch all ethnicities. It would catch all races. It would catch all nations. That was the plan of God. That was what God was doing all along the way. Peach people can't marry brown people. Here's another unusual phrase, statement I heard along the way that came from a kid. But this time it was from my own kid. I go in and I'm in the bedroom with my 4-year-old son, his 2-year-old little brother. I read a little book to him. I think it was a Dr. Seuss book, something very theologically deep like Hop One Pop. And we're done with that. And then I prayed with them and I hug them and I tell them I love them. And as I am walking out the room, I get to the door, I click off the light. From behind me, these are the words I hear. Peach people can't marry brown people. And I turned around and I looked at him and I said, "Who told you that?" And he says, "Peach people can't marry brown people." And I stepped back in and I said, "Nathaniel, who told you that?" Because I'm thinking someone has said this to him. Now you have to understand that when my son is 4, he doesn't understand race for anything. Everybody is what their actual color is. So when he says peach people, he means me. All right? I'm peach at this age. Not white, black, Asian. When you're a little kid, you just call people by their actual color. You don't know what actual ethnic is. That's a learned thing along the way. So I knew what he was saying because I knew what he was expressing. So I stepped back in and I'm asking again, who told you that? Because I thought somebody had said this to him, that peach people can't marry brown people. And I was like, you know, I thought I was going to have to put the smack down on somebody or something. I was like, who's that? And he says, well, they can't. So I sit down on the side of his bed and I'm sitting there with him and I said, Nathaniel, that's not true. That's not true what you're saying. Peach people can marry brown people. And then I explained to him, I said, you know, your mom's from Puerto Rico. Your mom is Hispanic, but I'm not. I didn't come from there. I came from here. And I said, and we're different, and it doesn't matter. We can still be married to each other. I said, all that matters is that two people love Jesus. And that's what matters. So it doesn't matter if they're different. He said, oh, good, because I like Christina. Now here I think that somebody has fed him bad info and he's plotting on how to get a girlfriend that doesn't look like him, all right? So at the ripe old age of 4 that he has made this statement. Peach people can marry brown people. It was God's plan all along that there would be peach people and brown people, amen? The net scoops up all kinds of fish. The net scoops up Africans and Asians and South Americans and Central Americans and island people and North America and everywhere around the world, Australians, where the net scoops up everybody when it's let down. The kingdom of God is like a net that catches everyone. Now, what's unique about the kingdom, it's not just that it catches all ethnicities of fish, it even catches both good and bad fish. Because if you keep reading, Jesus says that in the end, God's going to sort the fish and he's going to throw the bad fish out and keep all the good ones. Just like he's going to sort the sheep and the goats or the wheat and the tares, there'd be a separation. Which means when the net comes in, it doesn't mean that every fish that got caught was good. It catches a few bad fish along the way as well. Which means sometimes at church there's a few bad fish. And I'm going to point them out to you right now. No, I'm just kidding. I would never do that. There's none here. But at other churches, and you know people who go to other churches, so when you talk to them, you can let them know that, because obviously it doesn't apply here. Yeah, so. But in the kingdom, there's a few bad fish that can sneak in as well, and it just catches all of us. It just pulls us all in, and God does this, and it's God. The good news is that bad fish can become good fish. Hey, glory. Amen? Because ultimately, we were all bad fish originally, apart from the grace of Jesus Christ, that he would redeem us. So he brings us in. Now, here's what I want you to catch as you pull these together to see where this is going. So the kingdom of God had a plan from the beginning, and you were a part of that plan. You were created uniquely. We were all unique in this and what God was doing. And then I want you to get this, that the reason we're all so different is because unity in diversity, in the midst of diversity, is God's eternal plan. That was always God's plan. God's plan from the beginning was that in the kingdom, there would be a lot of different types of people from all nations and all races and all corners of the world, but that we would all be brought together and to be a part of His kingdom. In the kingdom, there would be unity, and that was God's plan. The best way to understand diversity in creation is to look at the end of the story. We have the Bible, so we have the great advantage that we can flip ahead to Revelation, and we get to see the end. We get to see what happens after everything is done. We get to see after Christ returns and sets up His throne and all that, we get to see what things look like then, because we get to read ahead in the story. Well, by reading ahead, we get a better picture of what God's plan is and what He's doing. John saw this. John had a revelation where on the Isle of Patmos where he got to look ahead and see what God is doing. Now look at this here. There was a time where a scroll was brought in, and no one was found worthy who could break the seal and open this scroll and read it. It'd be like a book in that day. No one could do it. And yet we read in Revelation and that where John says that he wept because no one was found worthy to break the seal and open the scroll. No one could. And yet, then it was said that someone did come, that someone was worthy. They told John, don't weep. Look. Behold the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God who was slain. He's worthy. And then we pick up right here in Revelation chapter 5. Worthy are you, this is what they declare to Jesus, worthy are you to take the book and break its seals, for you were slain. That's the cross. Are you with me? That's the cross. I want you to get this today. Jesus went to the cross. Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain. Now watch this, and purchase for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Jesus is not worthy simply because He died on a cross. Jesus is worthy because the cross was sufficient to save people from every nation on the earth. That every tribe, every kindred, every tongue, every nation could become a part of the kingdom. And it says here, you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth, praise God. So what makes Jesus worthy? That He redeems people everywhere. All right, that's a part of what makes Him worthy. All right, let's go back to Nathaniel. I'm in the grocery store. He's sitting in the cart in the little seat where you put little kids. He's only 2.5 years old at the time. He's bigger than me now. He's like 6'2". He's 240 or something. He's big, all right? So I can still take him. I'm serious. I could take him. But he's big now. But this is when he's very little. So Nathaniel is 2.5 years old. He's sitting up in the little cart. My groceries are on the little conveyor belt. And I'm at the end bagging my own groceries. And I look up at my son. And I know my son. He's my kid. He's got this look on his face. He's looking at the woman who's ringing up the groceries, and he's looking at me, and his eyes are kind of dancing around, and I already know something's coming. I don't know what's coming, but I know something's coming, because I know the look, and he's my kid, and I'm like, what is he going to say? Anyway, so he's sitting there, and he only knows how to speak in one volume level when he's 2.5, and that's like the same as a jet engine or something, so he was always so loud, still is, but anyway, so he gets that from his mother, So Nathaniel's sitting there, his eyes are dancing around, he's looking at her, he's looking at me, out of nowhere he proclaims so loud it's ridiculous, her face is brown. And I just said, her face is brown, you're right. I said, some people have brown faces. I said, peach, because that was what he always said. I said, some people have brown faces. Some people have peach faces. Jesus loves everybody. And I just kept ringing up the groceries, and he just sat there, and we all had a little chuckle, and that was that. It's 2 or 3 weeks later. I'm in the same grocery store, and I don't realize it until I'm putting my stuff on the belt. I have the same woman ringing up my groceries that I had before. So, I go around again, I'm bagging my groceries, and I already see his face. He's looking at her, he's looking at me, and he's got this half smile on his face, and I'm already thinking, oh, what's coming this time? Where's the moms and dads? Yeah, what's coming this time? Out of nowhere, my 2.5-year-old, he brings his hands up. Some people have peach faces. Some people have brown faces. Jesus loves all the people. Yes. I was like, you're right. I was like, you got it. You got what takes some of us decades to learn, and you got it when you're 2 and a half. Hold on to it. Hold on to it, if you will. So, Jesus loves everyone. So that was the plan of God, to love everyone. That all different ethnicities, nationalities, races, that we would all come together along the way. But here's the thing, is it gets even better. Jesus is not simply worthy because that's what he did. In John's revelation, if you keep going, I want to jump ahead with you here. In Revelation chapter number 7, here's what John saw. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count. And watch who they're from. From every nation. Where is he? Is John on earth? No. Now, I mean, I know physically he's on the Isle of Patmos, but this is a revelation of heaven. He's seeing into eternity is what he is seeing, all right? So he's not seeing earth. John didn't get taken to the UN building or whatever else. He is in heaven, and here's what he sees. He's with God. He's in the presence of God. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. So, in eternity, before the Lamb of God, every nation, every tribe. And John, it doesn't simply know that his head knowledge. He knows it because it's what he sees. So you know what I know? We still look different. Are you with me? We still look different. We still sound different. We're still who we are. The plan of God is not to get you to heaven to make us all white people. Do you realize how incredibly boring that would be? You definitely don't want that. You can laugh. It's true. We're pretty boring. But anyway, No, that's not the plan, to make everyone the same. It's never what God is doing. So God is standing before the throne. Let me keep going. It says, they were wearing white robes. I jumped ahead there. Whenever I jump ahead, I never know how to back up on this thing. What do I do wrong, guys? How do I get back? Yeah, there we go. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And so they're wearing white robes, but what about their faces? They're still peach faces and brown faces. I want you to catch that here, all right? And they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Get this. You're the same race in heaven that you are right now. You're the same ethnicity in heaven as you are right now. Jesus did not come to make us all the same ethnicity. Jesus came to make us a diverse, united group of believers who serve him in spite of the uniqueness of the way he created. It's an incredible thing about a part of the creation of God and what he did. We're still different even in eternity. To see this is incredible. We're still who we are. God didn't change that. If you're Jamaican now, you're still Jamaican in heaven. And that's good news, because I want some jerk chicken at the marriage supper of the Lamb. If you're Salvadorian now, you're still Salvadoran in heaven, and that's good news, because I want some pupusas in the kingdom. If you're Nigerian now, you're still Nigerian in heaven, and that's good news, because I want some jollof and fufu when I get into eternity, when I eat there. Are you with me? It doesn't matter. If you're Indian now, then you're still Indian in heaven, which is good news, so I can get some fish curry after it's all said and done. It doesn't matter who we are or where we come from. We're still unique as we spill over into eternity. John is having a vision of the end, and when the plan comes together, when the whole plan is finished, when everything on earth, if you will, of this part of the chapter of God's creation is done, and we're all gathered before the throne, we're still from every nation, every tribe, every kindred, every tongue. If you can't handle hearing people speak in a different language now, you're going to have a hard time in heaven. When the Holy Spirit comes upon us and we're filled with the Holy Spirit, what is the evidence of the filling of the Holy Spirit? God gives us a gift of a language that we pray in another tongue that we've never learned, that we can communicate with God. God loves different languages. So don't think that once you get to heaven, everybody's just going to speak the same language. What this tells me is this. You can speak different languages, be different races, from different nations, and have peach faces and brown faces, and still be completely united as one. Because that's the plan. That's the plan. The plan is not to make everybody the same thing. The plan is to redeem us as we are. and unite us together in the kingdom and to make us all one, praise God. Unity in diversity is part of God's eternal plan. Here's what Isaiah declared 700 years before Jesus came. He said, "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept." In other words, Jesus, I'm not going to send you just for the Hebrew people. That's too small of a job. You're bigger than that. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. The plan of God was that everyone would get brought in, that everyone would be a part of the kingdom, praise God. We're different because God made us different. And He's brought us together with the purpose of Acts 17. Acts 17 said that God chose our times and our seasons and where we would live. He chose the boundaries of our dwelling places, and here's why He did it. He said that men may know Him, though He is not far from any of us. Which means what we're doing right here at Silver Spring, where we come together as a diverse group of people, all giving praise unto God, this was the plan. This was the plan. The plan was that the world would see us united by our love for Christ. It would draw them as well, because this is a unique group of folks in any other setting. You don't see this everywhere else. You can go to the mall and see all different people, but they're not together. They're just walking around as individuals in the same location. They're not really together. Generally, when you see a group of people together, they most often are always the same, or at least very similar. But when we come in and we see this was the plan. The plan was that we would come in from all nations and that God would redeem us and make us a people unto Him, a united people unto Him. Peach people and brown people working together to give God praise and to draw the world to Him. This is a church that historically, boy, this is not new news to Silver Spring. All I have to do is show up here and look around, and this is a church that comes from all over the world. But here's what we have to be careful of. We have to be careful that we don't become like the people at the mall. Are you with me? That we just so happen to be in the same place at the same time, but we're not really united together as one. It's just that because when I can go to the mall this afternoon, I'm not with those people. Are you with me? We're just all at the same place at the same time, but we're not together. I don't even know who they are. But here we're together. Here we're one. Here we're one body, one family, as different as we are, working together for the kingdom of God to bring people to Him. Amen? Would you stand with me? I want to ask the worship team to come.